It is March. It's March 2nd, 2022, episode 103. I put the date on for a very specific reason, and we'll tell you here in a second. I am Michael Askins, architect and technologist, and this is the Technology Architecture Solution Engineering Show. And in the virtual studio with me, sitting here as a small head on the screen for those of you who will see it on video, is
Dev.
How about that timing? You zoomed out. I went back to the old way. I threw the date on there, except for I'm a month behind for a specific reason, because what we're going to talk about is precipitated by recent current events. So I just wanted to throw the date out there to kind of put the stamp on it. Got to put a disclaimer out there first, is that in no way are we being political or being anything near talking about the politics of what's happening in this very March 2nd, 2022, but more along the lines of things that are happening geopolitically are affecting our world as technologists. And we want to kind of talk through what that means, what that looks like, some things you need to do, some things you should have done a while ago that if you didn't, well, maybe you need to do them forthwith. And we'll kind of go down that hole a little bit. We're going to try to keep it a shorter episode. We've been getting really good pats on the noodle here, saying, oh, thank you, I can actually fit it in and not sit in the driveway when I'm on my commute home. But this may run a little long, may not, we don't know, because we're gonna run this right from the hip. We're gonna shoot right from the hip. I have a list of things that we want to cover technically, and I also want to kind of preface this by saying this is not just for technologists. I think if you're in the business side of the house, we do have both business and technology leaders listening to us. We want to make sure that the business side pays attention to some of our advice, even if we do talk a little bit of technology. But this is for a very important reason, because the safety of your data and the wellness of your people are top priority for us, as you know what we do, especially in this outlet. We want to make sure that you get what you need, right? So that being said, we want to also, again, we like to lead with thank you for our listeners and thank you for viewers. This will make its way to video. There's not going to be anything displayed, so you're not missing anything on this one if you are a listener only. But that being said, geopolitically, there's a more than a skirmish, a flat out war going on over with Russia and Ukraine. And we know that general area, we see a lot of activity come out from a security, from a cybersecurity perspective. And we just want to kind of talk through that, what we're seeing and some of the things you can do to help harden your environment, or things that you should be paying attention to. Well, you should be paying attention to these, you know, already, but even tighter, right? So, you know, how's your day been, Dev? Have you seen anything crazy happening today?
This week's been pretty much a blur. I've been working on a lot of SharePoint stuff, so yeah. it's been heads down on lots of different things, or on mainly those things. But it's been a busy week thus far. Working on SharePoint, business development, all that good stuff. Been trying to keep tabs on the current events as you've been saying.
Yep.
Yeah, it's been what, about a week now, I think, almost.
Yeah, it's been about a week since major activities, I should say, has happened. So again, we're not going to diagnose this from a political perspective, you know, and what goes on there. We're gonna let's just talk through what you should be looking for, right? So we know that the cybersecurity threat posture should be increased right now for your organization, no matter your size. It's worth noting that there's multiple ways in which businesses, organizations, and individuals are attacked. They're attacked via, you know, direct brute force, targeted. You know, they bring out all the guns and go to town to, you know, spoofing and spamming campaigns to hope somebody clicks on something and they can get into your environment that way, you know, sharing, clicking on that Microsoft 365 login. It looks just like it, but it actually isn't, because you didn't look at the link. You know, it's actually a .ru or, you know, whatever the domain suffix from the bad actor is sending it from. So we want to just kind of bring up some things to look for. So let's break it apart into several areas. Let's talk about it from a data center perspective, and then let's talk about it from an application and cloud services perspective, end users, and then end users in their personal world and life, right? So from a data center perspective, you know, obviously we hope that you have a security posture and you review frequently your access logs. You have all the latest firmware on your, if you have physical routing equipment and access control equipment, you make sure that the firmware is current and up to date based upon what your manufacturer recommends. You want to also make sure that you are patched and you have some sort of a defense mechanism from viruses, malware. You want to make sure that you're doing audits on access and, you know, make even just random pulls from people who have privileged access, root access, or security access. If you don't have a system in place that gives you JIT or just-in-time administration, you're going to want to do that a little more in depth right now, just because we see the attacks coming. We've always seen them. We see the areas in which they're vectoring from, and there is an increase right now. So, and I'm not spooking people, it's just a fact, and we're not going to hard sell you on like, hey, go get your friendly neighborhood consultant to fix that for you. This is just going to be an outlay of things you need to do. If you need help, find someone to help you. We want to make sure that, you know, we're doing the right thing. So data center, right things, make sure your logs are good, you're patched, you're current. We know that there's been exploits under legacy software. We've seen this happen in the Microsoft realm with some Exchange server environments. So we want to make sure that you follow what is out there and you get all those 0 days patched. On the business side, if you're not familiar with what a 0 day is, that's when day zero, when something actually happens. You want to make sure that those are plugged up, right? Anything on the old school data center side you want to touch on, Dev?
No, I think especially just I really want to touch on the legacy stuff. Like you said, we've seen, you know, before this is all started, you know, different legacy software being exploited and, you know, huge things happening, you know. So anything like that, you know, make sure, you know, anything legacy, make sure it's patched or make sure it's closed off as much as possible, because legacy is, you know, unfortunately usually more vulnerable. So, you know, definitely want to make sure that all those are, you know, definitely in a tip top shape.
Yep, for sure. And I picked on Exchange Server. That's not the only thing out there. You know, one of the things we actually do for the day job quite frequently is we like cloud migrations, and we see like Server 2008 R2 and, so, you know, older versions of Server 2012 that haven't had its security cycles run through. Those are screaming to be exploited, yeah. Right?
CentOS, Linux. Yeah. Definitely Linux. We see a lot of that.
Yep. Like massively old CentOS.
Definitely.
Yeah, for sure. So taking that step into the hybrid world, so now we're going to talk about connecting into things like Azure, AWS, GCP. We're going to focus on Azure because we like Microsoft and some things you can do there. There are things you can do in with Azure tools and Microsoft tools in all clouds. So one of the things, again, a good best practice is make sure your privileged access is done to best practice. Generally, your end user accounts shouldn't be your admin accounts. Make sure you're separating that so that when an administrative access is happening, that somebody has to purposefully put in credentials. It's just not kind of trail along, right? So, you know, some of those standard best practices help when if there is something that gets in your system and maybe it gets onto an administrator's via an administrator, you're not opening the world up to, or your data up to the world, right? We want to stop that. Also, one of the things you can do is make sure that you have a well-architected, sustainable path and reference architecture for the cloud. And I'm going to speak on Azure here, but this applies to all things AWS and GCP and Bob's Azure down the road, or Bob's cloud down the road, whichever cloud you want, you know, or Oracle, even after that, you know, whichever cloud you want to make sure that you have a sustainable reference architecture that covers governance, security, identity, and access management. That's just 3 of 10 core areas you want to cover, right? And again, with that identity and access, making sure you have separate accounts, make sure that those are not something that can be left logged in. You want to put policies on your devices that anytime anything's rolled out in the cloud, that policies automatically apply. And those policies should be, you know, aside from operational policies, we're focusing here on the security aspect. You want to make sure that that matches, you know, things that mitigate risk, right? That makes you have a really safe environment for your users to use this data against, right? One of the other things about cloud is with virtual desktop infrastructure. If you manage VDI, so on the business side, if you're not familiar with VDI, it's when you have a solution that serves out virtual desktops, like Citrix. Microsoft has solutions, the old Microsoft Remote Desktop Services, which is now part of, you know, Azure Virtual Desktop if it's in the cloud, or Windows 365 if it's in the cloud as a service. The same principles apply to on-premises users, how you handle them. Make sure that you have, you know, for your administrative accounts that have access to your data centers in all these control planes, make sure that you have that unique.a account or administration account, but make sure it's also MFA protected or some secondary factor. That way, any kind of activity that needs to go against it needs to be purposeful. That's not saying that if somebody owns your credentials that you're not they're not able to redirect that MFA if they can get into the configuration account and set up authenticators. That just means it makes it harder, and it's usually not worth their time typically unless you are explicitly targeted by them. We won't call out anybody in the past that has been, you know, called out by, you know, movie studios. I'll say industries, movie studios, giant clothing industries have all been targeted in these fashions. And so you want to make sure that you're looking. By when I say you're looking, that means you need to look. You can have things in place, but if something was purposefully done with credentials that were put out into the wild, you want to be careful, because they can stay in your environment for a long period of time. I'm, again, not going to say the name, but a certain movie studio and gaming company that makes a M56 gaming console, read into that with what you will, that particular company had the bad actor in there for quite a while, right? Months and months and months, right? So what your users do must be purposeful. If you are at an executive level and you listen in on this, if you are a tech level or a manager level, forward this episode over to the tech people. Say, hey, just listen to this. This is what we've been talking about. So you can get, you know, they can hear externally if they need that help. You need to make sure that your people have systems in place. Multi-factor, make sure their actions are purposeful. Anyone who's ever heard me speak, I do a lot of speaking engagements around users sometimes, is some of the topics I do. It's all about behavior, right? And changing behavior. If we have the same behavior when we're under attack, and if our attack surface is large, the chances of something bad happening is high. Now, we've talked about, you know, our data centers and doing the right thing from an administration level. That doesn't mean that an end user can't do something that affects stuff in our data center, and maybe it gets locked up by ransomware, right? So there's some tools before we move over to end users in the SaaS side of the cloud, which I'll toss to you, Mr. Devlin. But one of the things we want to do is make sure that we're reviewing those access levels. We're reviewing who's doing what. We're making sure that we have auditing turned on. It doesn't really cost much. There's rolling auditing that in Azure, from a data center perspective, that is super cheap to no cost. There's things you can do. Security is not cheap, but there's things you can do that's part of the platform that helps make it affordable. Super affordable for organizations of all sizes. It's the insurance accounting office down the road that's 5 users, or the manufacturer that's 5,000 users. Those same tools are available to everybody, and it's priced accordingly based upon what you do. Inside of Azure, there's things you can, aside from policies, you can have Defender, you can have third-party tools, you can have stuff come into Azure Monitor with those third-party tools, or pipe them to you know, Splunk, Humio, insert tool here that's very open and friendly because we want this environment to be secure. We want it to be functional and sustainable and scalable. So in thinking of cloud, that's the Azure side of it. Now there's a whole nother component of it, which is the more SaaS side of it, which is like the M365 or Office 365 world. What are some things over there? I know there's stuff inside the SharePoint realm that you can do. There's things in the admin portal and security centers that you can do in that space to help out, you know, keep your security posture good and make sure that you're getting the most out of your subscriptions. And I'm going to put an asterisk here. There's tiers of security that comes with every level, right? Mm-hmm. Everything from the base core things to protect you all the way through super granular, crazy stuff that's out there. So what are some things that you deal with on a day-to-day basis that we can give to our listeners and viewers as some areas to look at that they can have some immediate impact on this attack that's occurring right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of these items, especially when it comes to like SharePoint, Teams, Exchange, some of this is more important once if someone were to compromise creds, what they can do once they get inside the system. So, I mean, I think that's part of it too. You know, I think that especially when it comes to SharePoint, you know, obviously you think about files and things like that. You want to make sure your external sharing as tight as it possibly can be, without obviously inhibiting your users. You know, there's always that balance, but, you know, making sure you can't share anonymous links if you can, or having controls around that where it expires after a certain point, you know, things like that, making sure your external sharing is where it needs to be. So that way, you know, people can, you know, still work, but, you know, make sure those controls are, you know, will protect the org. When we think about Teams, I mean, I see a lot of times the orgs only want to chat with approved domains, especially with recently when Microsoft has released the ability to chat with Teams personal accounts. You know, I'm sure the spam is going to go all the way up. So, you want to make sure that, you know, if, you know, making sure you're turning that off, making sure people can't communicate with Skype users that are personal accounts, because the spam's going to go up. Someone's going to see something.
A link's going to be sent and somebody's going to click it.
Right? Exactly. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Yep.
It happens all the time. You want to make sure that those things are, you know, make sure you have those things turned off, only chatting with approved domains, so that people can do their PIs. If someone gets a hint of someone's email address, especially at the executive level, you know, someone gets sent something, you know, it's bound to happen.
Yeah, you know, every organization has an executive that needs, you know, $2,000 worth of Amazon gift cards sent the email to them with the code scratched off the back, because that's a thing that people do, yeah. Right? I mean, like, who in the world? I don't know who came up with that scam, but it baffles me that it's actually successful. But, you know, understandably, you know, people are in the rush to please and perform. So that's sometimes, going back to what I said earlier, that's sometimes that behavior, we want our behavior to change from reactionary to purposeful, right?
Yep,
exactly. You need to have purpose. Just as a side note, that's the same thing in sports, right? So, you know, I coach some sports, and one of the things that I always say is you have to have purpose. What the action you do on the play field has to have purpose. The action you do in your job should have purpose, not just, and the purpose shouldn't be general either. Like, I just wanted to see what was on the other side of that link. So speaking of links, there's things that you can do inside your, you know, 365 world to make yourself a little bit more secure. There's things called safe links. Safe links are phenomenal. It confuses people sometimes if they're like super, like watching the browser. So safe links is a thing that you can turn on, that all the links that get sent to your end users are scanned. They don't get the actual link to the destination. They get a safe links link, so that when it's clicked on, some services at Microsoft in the back end look at it and say, is this really a destination that is not bad to go to? So it's generally a good practice to do that. There are other services that do that as well. There's also another easy to do thing is safe attachments. Safe attachments, there is a little artifact with safe attachments. Well, with safe links, when you click on it, that safe links URL gets thrown into your default browser. And you'll see the safe links, and then once it's scanned, it flips over to the regular URL to where you're supposed to go. So no issue, right? It's like milliseconds sometimes, right? With safe attachments, depending on the attachment, when it comes in, it, your attachment's going to get held and it's going to be in that detonation chamber where it's going to look at it. It's going to like do a quick scan based upon, you know, what your posture is and determine if that attachment that's going to your end user is good or not. And if it is, it goes. If it's not, it gets blowed up, right? Yep. So, the artifact is that there is, when you hit send, even if it's within org, if you hit send, instead of it coming in 60 seconds, it comes in 90 seconds because it has that extra step in between for it to validate its safety, right? And quite frankly, I would rather be delayed in sending an attachment if I'm that big to try to get something over to someone and I'm going to send it via email and 30 seconds is the barrier for my success. I'm going to find a better way to send that thing anyways, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yep.
So there's things also with data loss prevention, rights management, Azure information protection. There's like lots of services that are out there that you can put on that, if something does happen, you can have rules in place to help prevent it from continuing or prevent it from happening. That's a much greater discussion. I think we could burn probably just with Azure Information Protection. We could probably burn like 9 shows just on that. But it is a deep topic, but it's one of those things where we really want, we want you to try to leverage the best out of all the tools that you get. And quite frankly, depending on the what kind of subscription you have, you probably got some level of these things inside of your organization already. You may be using them, you may not be using them. You may have deployed them, but you're not monitoring them, or you may be deployed them and you haven't given it its attention. Yeah, it needs care and feeding like any other thing that's out there, right? So we want to make sure that that's being done. What else on the anything else you can think of on the SaaS side? Anything in the Power Apps world or Power BI? Again, most of that's credential based exploits. Yeah. It's not like you're going to go to your Power BI dashboard and that pie chart is going to be like, I'm going to exploit you. It doesn't quite work like that, but
yeah. I definitely think with like, I think you might have mentioned this before, but if you get MFA requests and you didn't log in, don't hit accept. that's a big one. Don't do that. And like even with DLP, like if you don't have it deployed, like there's some quick wins like you can grab, especially if you have that level, that tier of in your subscription. You know, there's quick wins you can do with, general information like social security numbers, credit card numbers, things like that. Sure. You know, every organization has some type of level of HR. Everyone has personal information of their employees, so those are some quick wins that you can definitely get when you're looking at DLP. And I would say even like, Intune, I don't know if that kind of falls underneath the SaaS piece of it, but if you're, and this is more about, I guess, the physical security of devices, like, before this was happened before, Russia's in Ukraine's conflict, but we had a client of ours had a VP of HR lose their machine in an airport. They don't know if it was stolen or whatever. And they have Intune deployed and they couldn't locate the device. So we had to wipe it. Yep. So, making sure, especially in that part of the world right now, things are definitely not as stable as they can be. If you're traveling in that part of the world and you lose your device, things are, the physical damage is just as great as the digital damage. So, making sure that you keep your tabs on your devices. And if it is, talk to your, make sure you're ported. And if you have the device management software, make sure that you can either locate it or wipe it.
Yeah, and that goes into like some user practice. You just segued right into it nicely, right? So your users, you should prohibit the data from leaving your world in an environment of control, right? Your sphere of influence should be around your company data at all times, unless there's a justified reason for it not to be, right? Sharing with an external vendor or sharing with a customer, client, partner, whatever the business use case is, but you want to have those not as just, you don't want to have them as like big giant gaping holes. You want them to be like very specific defined portals or tunnels in which only certain kind of people can come and go through that to move whatever you're authorizing to go through. So that leads us to like sharing links and sharing data with OneDrive and sharing, you know, a lot of organizations, they use their SharePoint environment, then have a separate part of their SharePoint environment for external users. They don't want anything that has their, you know, company stuff in the regular realm to be accidentally sent. So they wall that off with that approach, right? And it's worth noting, we say SharePoint, even if you're not using SharePoint, you're using SharePoint. You might not know that, because if you're using Teams, you're using SharePoint to some degree. If you're using OneDrive, you're using SharePoint to some degree. There is, you know, a lot of interdependencies of services in the back end, which leads to, you know, how users interface with your data and how we protect that. And one of the ways we can do that is making sure that we don't have company data just lingering on phones, mobile, tablets, and PCs. We want, you know, home folder redirection to be OneDrive so that it's protected, it's backed up. We want to make sure that you're doing things where you can come back from. Now, this is before I go to the segue back to the beginning of with user data in the cloud, any other user tips you can, from a user perspective, you can throw out there? Don't just mash that approve button. don't just click that link willy-nilly. Look at the sender. If it just has their name, hover over it. It'll give you their full address. If it says, you know, Satya Nadella from Microsoft, but if you hover over and it's like, you know, Frank Trebinowitz from like something.ru or CN or TW, whatever, you know that's not right, right? So you can hover your mouse. That's another good user tip, is hover on top of address. Don't click on it, you can hover it, and it'll blow out what that user is, blow out the information and say who that, what that actual email address is, right? Yeah. Any other user tips you want to throw out there?
I think you touched on one. You know, make sure, especially if you're using a Microsoft suite of tools, make sure that as an end user, if you're working on any data on your computer, make sure it's synced to your OneDrive, especially in the event you lose your device or you get malware infected on your device or whatever the case may be. Because going back to what I was talking about before, the VP of HR lost her laptop in Europe, and she was like frantically searching her OneDrive from another computer to make sure all her data was in there that she needed before we wiped it. So especially, you know, from an IT admin standpoint, make sure the home folder redirections on, as far as, you know, your documents, pictures, you know, downloads, desktop, all that good stuff is on, just to make sure that, you know, in the event that the physical device is lost in some capacity, or, you know, it's infected or lost, you know, that you still have that, all that data there, because that's what those tools are there are for. So,
yep. And bridging back to the beginning when we started talking about the back end stuff, so we talked about some things for users. Going back to the beginning where we have systems and stuff in place, one of the things you want to do is ensure that you're protecting that data that's out there and interfacing with those users. So having the ability to wipe a device, that is definitely clutch when things go physically astray. But also you want to have the ability to like maybe put a control in place where you know that your users are, maybe we'll just pick on North America, your users are North American based. Yeah. You can make it that your users cannot log in outside of North America. I'm not saying that bad actors can't make it look like they're coming from here or aren't here, but it makes it that much harder, right? You want security in depth. You want multiple layers of things in place to where it becomes not worth the time of a bad actor to try to get at you. Unless you're a target, then you need to have everything from beginning to end, right? You should anyways. But, you know, putting that risky, there's reports for risky logins, right? I get those reports all the time when I used to travel before the world shut down, traveling for customers and conferences. I land in an airport for a layover and I'm checking my mail, and then I land in another airport and I'm there, and also they're like, Microsoft's like, what are you doing? Yeah, you know? Exactly. So,
especially, you know, if you're, you know, one moment a login's coming from Pittsburgh, the other time it's coming from, you know, the UK. You know, yep. They know the person couldn't have traveled that fast, or, you know, whatever the case may be. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And then you get that weird, you know, I paid for the internet on the Delta flight, or I have it because I have status. And all of a sudden you're getting like satellite Skylink. Well, they're like, what's going on? Which is good. We want that, right?
Yeah.
We want that. It does make it a little harder for the end user, but I would rather the users be purposely pushing an extra approve button on an MFA enabled device than not, right? So there's other things that we need to bring up too, that, you know, this will be an upcoming episode. Actually, on our list, I moved it down the line, but it is worth talking about here. And this is from a business side and a IT tech side. I want everyone to pay pretty close attention to this next bit. Because your stuff's in the cloud doesn't mean you have data protection. There is data protection measures in the cloud for your provider, but that's in the event that their particular data center and or the hardware within fails. So big preface there. So there's protection if you disable a user, the data sits there for a certain period of time before it goes away. You know, like there's things like that in place, right? There's in Azure, there's something called a soft delete that you can turn on. So if you delete something, it moves off to the side for a certain time period before it actually goes away. So there's some little protections there. The protections in the things that affect our end users are non-existent in any cloud service. I don't care if you're using G Suite, a 365, or, you know, you name the product here, right? There's third-party products that do granular backups. Like I said, there are things in place in your cloud environment to help you from a massive catastrophic failure of that provider's systems and solutions that are in place. So, you know, over on MAIT Pro stuff, you hear us talking about Code 2. I get, you know, I have a partnership with them. That's, I'm not advocating them here. I'm not promoting, this is a non-sponsored show, aside from Aspire, who helps enable and make this show possible. But I'm using this as an example. Code 2 is a product that does more than just migrate tools. There's a point where you can back up and do granular restoration of your data based upon whatever your recovery time objective and recovery point objectives are. So if you are in an IT, those things ring true when you think about disaster recovery and business continuity. If you're on the business side, you know, we see it as, if something bad were to happen, where is the line in the sand of when we can say we have the data all the way up to here, and how long will it take for us to get back working? So that's what those two things are. And you typically, if you want to have that kind of a granular solution on the ground to protect your business, you need a third party or enable other things and other services and solutions to accommodate that. There's Microsoft has backup solutions, and they have stuff for VMs and some of their larger services on the Azure side. Historically, the Exchange world is basically third-party based from our experiences for, you know, affordability and ease of deploying something with relatively quick. And again, the only reason why I brought up Code 2 is that it is an extremely affordable solution, and the costs are easily offset by, you know, the benefits you get from being able to roll out a solution that will just buy into your cloud stuff. There are many other solutions like that out there. So, you know, think in your mind as you're sitting there, like I mentioned kind of to flippantly, but not, if you don't have some of these things on the ground and with what's going on geopolitically, if something were to attack and hit your stuff, it's probably too late if you're going to get that granular restoration of that VP or president's email that they sent off to close the big deal because all your stuff got corrupted. It's probably a little too late. Is it a little too late if you didn't happen yet and our threat profile is increased? We see the increased activity. You still have time to deploy and do the right thing and get some stuff on the ground. So any final things on that realm?
No, I think, I mean, I'm just reiterate your first point. Just because it's in the cloud doesn't mean it's protected. You have to take measures to do that. You know, all that's changed is you're not managing the infrastructure of a piece. You still have to manage everything else, you know, from a software perspective and backups and things like that. So, you know, you definitely want to make sure that, you know, you're taking those measures and precautions and not just moving up and wiping your hands of it.
Yep. Microsoft has a document. It's called the Shared Responsibility Matrix. It's widely available. It's very public. Anytime Microsoft's engaged inside of an organization or brought in, and it's always one of the slides they have there because they want everyone to know where, who, what's Microsoft responsible for, and what are you responsible for.
Exactly.
So you know, it's worth even if you've just done this evolution, it's worth you stopping and taking a look and say, with what's going on of, you know, increased attacks, with what's going on with increased you know, phishing schemes and scams and ransomware, what is my positioning and how do I position better? And then, you know, kind of to put an action plan together to try to do some things. As we mentioned, there's so much low-hanging fruit. There's so many things you can do with what you have in your subscription to turn on some monikerm of, you know, safety. You know, it baffles me how many times when we're brought in, we do a lot of reviews and assessments of Azure environments and 365 environments. It baffles me how much is not used or how much of it's just like, oh, we flipped that switch on and we think we're good. There's a little more care and feeding than just turning something on. And also, here's another one, you know, like with data loss prevention, how many times have we seen organizations say, oh, we turned DLP on in report only mode because there's two modes. There's report only, then action. So report only just sends a report saying, hey, somebody's SSN's going out the door. But then there's like the action mode that says, don't let it, right? How many times have we seen just in the past 2 years, 3 years, organizations deploy something like DLP and it's not turned on? I mean, it's just in report only mode. I mean, I can think of six times off the top of my head, right? With rather large, risky environments.
Yeah, I have to remember to flip the switch once you're done testing.
Yeah, you got to go in and like, turn it on.
You got to throw the lever to make sure it's on. Report only is great, especially when you first deploy it, because if you're doing custom regex and things like that, you want to make sure you want to tweak it to the point where, you know, minimum false positives, you know.
Yep.
Things like that. So, you know, you want to make sure that, you know, everything's good. But then once everything's done, you still got to throw that extra notch in the switch to get it fully going. So, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, there's tons of times when we see stuff that, you know, people just have it and they're not using it. You know, they don't even realize it, that they have it, even with the lowest tier of Microsoft subscriptions and licenses. You know, like you said, there's so much low-hanging fruit that people can use and leverage, and even the simplest things can help out a long way and deter people. Like you said, it's a matter of multiple layers. You know, you want to make it as hard as possible for people to exploit you. At the end of the day, if everyone had all the time in the world, sure, they could get to you eventually, but, you know, time is a finite resource, so you know, they're gonna try to target the easiest people and easiest targets, and if you make it hard for them, you'll just be that much more protected.
Yeah, that's a great way to end it. You know, it's one of those things where I, you know, I'm a fervent PC, Samsung, Android. And, you know, in back in the day, the biggest argument was, well, I don't see those viruses on Mac. Well, there's a reason, because there's like 80,000 billion more PCs. And what if somebody going to write something to target, you know, a fraction of a percent of a population versus, you know, their goal is to cast the biggest net they can, and whatever's the easiest haul to deck. Blatant fishing reference there, because it's starting to get warmer. You know, that's what they're gonna target, right? And so they look and they know, like, oh, there's these legacy systems still out there for messaging, so we're gonna write an exploit because we know it's out there. You know, just do the right thing, peoples. You know, we really think that. There's a lot of respect goes to, you know, the security teams and the operational teams and the IT teams to help keep us moving forward. But security is for everyone. It's not just the democratization of IT that the cloud did. It enables security tools for all, right? So I think on that note, again, want to thank you as listeners and thank you as viewers. Thank you, Dev, as usual, for running in the sidecar, co-piloting this ship, and also Aspiring for making this show possible. We ran a little longer than our 30-minute target, but the message is worth getting out. Any final words, Dev?
No, I think we covered it. We definitely went a little bit longer than the past episodes, but, you know, I think it's an important topic.
Yep.
Especially in this climate right now, and, you know, make sure everyone's protected and all the everyone's safe. So
that's awesome. On that note, we thank you again, and we'll listen to you on the next go. Have a good day.
Today's show is brought to you by Aspirant. You aspire, together we achieve. This production is for information and entertainment purposes only. Not all technologies and items discussed are compatible with your system or specific configuration. Your mileage may vary. Consult a professional before trying anything discussed on this show. Visit show notes for relevant information and links.